The art of sophisticated parsha development is when we are able to trace a theme pervasively permeating the parsha, and when in a compelling way we are able to trace the master design, how all the parts, all the sub-narratives in our parsha are part of that master plan, that grand edifice. Well, Parshas Ekev, I posit, is the parsha all about our relationship to Gashmius, or to materialism, which is a huge and vast subject, because Yiddishkeit has a very balanced and nuanced perspective to Gashmius, recognizing that, of course, the deepest part of the human being is the neshama, is the chilek olam imal, and materialism, Gashmius and the like, is not ultimately what it's about. But at the same time, the guf is part of who we are. Part of the human composite is guf as well. And therefore, for meaning to be found, for the neshama's vision to be achieved, Gashmius has to be a healthy part of the equation. Well, all of this, we will see, is reflected in the parsha when studied as a whole. The parsha begins, V'haya Ekev Tishman, it will be in place of listening to Hashem. You will merit all sorts of blessings. Fruit, fertility, wealth. And this theme of promises of prosperity for keeping mitzvahs, you can trace throughout the parasha, including at the end of the parasha, the famous V'hayim Shemoa, second parasha of Kriya Shema, which promises, if you listen, v'nasati geshmeichem b'ito, I will provide you with sustenance. And of course, as the Rambam writes, this is not the true schar, this is not the true effect of mitzvahs. It would almost be demeaning, certainly diminutive to believe. Dveikas b'Hashem, everything which mitzvahs bring is about Gashmius, to believe it's a spigot to shower down wealth, that's really what it's about? That's not what it's about, but rather, as the Rambam explains, there is a divine smile from heaven. I am happy with what you're doing, the way you're living your life, and I want to continue to enable you to live that way, so I will continue to give you the resources to do it. The financial resources. It takes real money to be a Yira from Eivet Hashem. We can all attest to that. And I would argue as well, the Rambam is referring to the emotional benefit of feeling harvacha, feeling plenty, to have that safe place rather than that place of destitution, scarcity, right? So the Gashmistik of bracha throughout our parsha Vayekev Tishmon, Vayetshmo Tishmo, right? All of that is to enable a ruchnistik of life. And we see other dimensions to this theme of how Gashmius fits into the picture. For example, in the beginning of the parasha, when it says, remember in the Midbar, how Hashem initially deprived you, Vayanka Vayariveka, he did not provide you with easy access to food provisions. But eventually he provided you with lechem in Hashemayim, with man, in order to teach you, ki lo al lechem levanto yichya adam, ki al kobo mutzipi Hashem yichya adam. Man does not live through bread alone, rather man lives through the divine word, the hashkacha behind it. The divine word as in the utterances of creation which created the world then and continued to create it in every single moment, that when you eat bread, when you partake from Gashmius, realize where it's from. And we experience this in the Midbar, the Torah saying, when kind of the natural order was pulled back, was the building was scraped down to its skeleton, the building, i.e., of physical living, of olam hazadika living. Food wasn't readily apparent. We initially felt inui, deprivation, but only then we found man. We found bread which was clearly from heaven to show us what is actually going on even when we eat physical bread. It is really always man, it is really always divine hashkacha behind it. This is yet another sensitivity to Gashmius. Don't allow the Gashmius to obscure Yad Hashem. Rather, see the Gashmius as the portal to the divine. And we have other dimensions of Gashmius in the parsha. The Shivas Haminim appear in this week's parsha. The notion that succulent, delicious food can be the portal to the divine, can be the means through which we interact with the divine Shekhinah of Eretz Yisrael, the wonder of Shivas Haminim. And then we have the mitzvah of benching in this week's parasha, V'yachalta v'savata v'erachta, where the sense of eating, achil, and tzviya, satisfaction, is the means to thank Hashem, yet another dimension to how physicality and materialism is not a barrier, but part of the overall rich life of the Eved Hashem. And yet along with this, with all of these rich dimensions to how Gashmias is part of the life of an Eved Hashem, validating that we are not only soul but body as well, the Torah also lays bare in this week's parasha the real threat of a Gashmiastic life, and the notion that we need to forever be on guard, that the Gashmias not get the better of us and not become the Ikar rather than the Tafel. Right? And in this vein, we appreciate the Torah's admonition, that famous pasuk, you will feel proud. You will say, you will think smugly, you are the source of your own success. Right? That is all, understand that word of admonition, those words of admonition are all part, splendidly integrated within the greater theme of the parasha when you trace it this way. And the Torah actually, in our parasha, engages a little of a tangent of sorts, which might confuse us. I want to just identify what the tangent is at this stage in the parasha and understand how it fits in tangentially and ensure it doesn't divert us from the greater thematic study in our parasha. After the V'ram L'vach V'shachachta Hashem, the threat of Gashmias, the Torah then speaks more broadly that a Jewish people ought not be smug. It says, Al Tomar, don't say when the Goyim are thrown out, but Tzikasi, it's due to my own righteousness. Because realize, Jewish people, that you have real spiritual foibles. Think back to the desert, the way you angered Hashem throughout the Midbar, how you were only bailed out through Hashem's mercy, and the Torah elaborates upon this, the story of the Egel, L'chashnias. Let's understand that this piece of the parasha is really a tangent, or you might see it as an elaboration upon the V'ram L'vach V'shachachtas Hashem, as the Torah is saying, Gashmias might lead you astray, don't be too smug about it. It speaks about other smugness. Smugness is not only true in the Gashmias sense, but in the Ruchniyistika sense, the Torah is saying. Just as you ought never feel that sense of false confidence, Kochi v'yotzim yadi yasli esachayel hazeh, oh, I've been successful in life due to my smarts, due to my physical prowess, due to my Harvard degree. The Torah is saying, also don't feel spiritually smug. Oh, you know why we defeated the guy? Because we're such big tzaddikim. When spiritual smugness could, of course, be a from a foible, the Torah is, in a sense, elaborating on the theme of feeling smugness for Amo Vach B'Shachachtas Hashem with this extra element of spiritual smugness, which I must say, parenthetically, speaks to us today, as Baruch Hashem, we've advanced as a from society. We really could struggle with a lot of spiritual smugness, looking down on other Yidden, looking down on other people. And the Torah is cautioning us, be humble. Be humble. You are successful Baruchnius, you are successful Begashmius, right? You have Harvard degrees, and you have Smich and Tzim Ashasim and other spiritual feats going on as well. But all of it should not detract from the sense of humility. This is the art, by the way, of tracing a parasha, how even its tangents fit into the broader theme. After this tangent, the Torah, you see, weaves right back to the original theme, which is really Gashmias, right? Which is really healthy integration between Ruchnias and Gashmias, because it then speaks about other dimensions of Eretz Yisrael as a land where even the physicality reflects Hashem, as we traced originally in the Shivas Hamina narrative, because at this stage in the parasha, after it deals with the smugness issue, it then speaks about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the land which reigns. You see Hashem's providence there, including with the way he provides your parnasa there, right? It's this glorification of healthy, wholesome Gashmias in Eretz Yisrael. And as we said, it's at this stage in the parasha, towards the end of the parasha, where you have the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, the parasha of Ahaya, which not only promises prosperity for keeping mitzvahs, but in the words of the Gemara, it's the parsha of Hanuk Bamedek Daracher. It's the parsha of earning a parnasa, because it says, it speaks about farming the land, and you will receive bracha from farming the land. The Tanna Rabbi Shmuel cites from here the source, that along with learning, one needs to work, one needs to be responsible in Yanei Parnasa, right? This huge issue of a spiritual life along with a physical life and integrating them together, right? Ensuring, as Rav Huttner writes, that a person should not see the fact that they're not learning in yeshiva all day, but they're earning a parnasa as a double life, chalila, but rather as a broader life, right? That as you mature beyond bacharhood, and you become a Baal Acharayis and you're working, it's a broader life. You're a richer person because of it. There are other spiritual opportunities outside the Beis Medrash which call upon you to apply the inspiration of the Beis Medrash to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in the boardroom, right? On the delivery route, whatever you might be doing, right? That all has to do with the V'chaim Shema, which is not only promising prosperity, but it's the source for the Hanuk B'Midak Derech Eretz. And then finally, the parasha ends with the notion of Kibush Haaretz, and the famous pasuk at the end of the parasha, really the very triumphant pasuk, Kol Makom Asher Tidru Kaf Raglechem, wherever you step foot on in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes yours. This pasuk is cited by Chazal as one of the sources for Kibush Eretz Yisrael, for the Halos Kibush, it becomes our land. And understand this notion, Eretz Yisrael Shalanu, and that sense of triumph and holy triumph in a gashmiyistic sense, in a military sense, is yet another dimension of the broader theme of healthy gashmiyus in a utopian Eretz Yisrael society, with all of the words of admonition throughout the parasha, which now echo and resound in Troy. You don't become too spiritual, physically smug, spiritually smug. Keep perspective to live the holy, wholesome life of gashmius and ruchnius together. And with this, our parsha comes together. And I think we can all savor the rewarding sense at this point of having traced an overall theme pervasively permeating the parsha. And now we could take it to the next level. Now we could take the message of the parsha, the role of gashmius, and develop it in a more nuanced way by comparing it and contrasting it with other parshias. Right, whenever you've developed a parsha to this degree, now you can kind of take the bird's eye view. You're up there. You see the big picture of the parsha, and you see now how this parsha as a whole, right, can correlate to the master plans of other parshas. It's very clear to me that Parshas Akev, seen as we've developed it, is a compare-contrast with last week's parsha, Parshas Vaschana. And my major lead in that direction is the following pattern. Towards the end of our Parsha Akev, as the second Parsha of Kriya Shema Vayim Shemoa, towards the end of Parshas Vaschana, as the first Parsha of Kriya Shema Shema, it is so symmetrical that two consecutive Parshas are ending with the first Parsha and the second Parsha of Kriya Shema, respectively. Two narratives which ultimately fuse in one greater Kriya Shema narrative, two narratives which are not only part of one Kriya Shema narrative, but are fused together. And a mezuzah are fused together. And tefillin carry very similar information in them. Mandates of Talmud Torah, mandates of chinuch, and so forth. Mandates of loving Hashem. Well, what is the significance of the compare, and hence the contrast, of Vaschanan and Akev, Parsha Rishona, Parsha Shnia, together? Well, it really has a lot to do with our understanding that Parshas Akev as a whole and Parshas Shnei of Kriya Shema specifically is all about gashmius. It's all about this notion that, you know, you're not deprived physically through a life of Avodas Hashem. It becomes broad life, as Rav Huttner calls it. Well, Vaschanan and Parshas Shnei of Kriya, and Parshas Rishon of Kriya Shema, on the other hand, I'm going to argue is a very, very different perspective. Because let's understand that the Parsha Rishon of Kriya Shema in Vaschanan is all about, or to a large degree, about Mesiras Nefesh. The Pasuk in Parsha Rishon of Kriya Shema, V'haftas Shem L'kach B'chol V'chol K'chol Mabshcha B'chol Mo'udacha, is the source from where Chazal derived the mandate that one needs to give up everything they have for Hashem. B'chol Mo'udacha, sacrifice all your money. B'chol Mabshcha, this is Afilu Hunot Las Mabshcha, martyrdom, as you didn't have done and paid the ultimate price through the ages. Likewise, the parsha of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad itself in the Zohar is understood as a mandate for dying al kiddush Hashem, and indeed many Jews in the final moment of life say that pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Martyrdom, sacrifice, very different theme, focus, tone, tenor, arguably even an inverse one. To the V'chaim Shemoa Hanukkah, Minhag Derech Eretz, live a fused life of Ruchnius and Gashmius. No, right? V'aschanim is a and Shema Yisrael is all a parasha about Mesiras Nefesh. And of course, there's not a contradiction between the two perspectives. Of course, our parasha, the fusion of Ruchnius and Gashmius, is all about functionality. It's not about essence. The essence of Judaism is not Gashmius. And anyone who sees their essence of the essence of Judaism as a spiritual karma to ensure success has missed the entire idea of Judaism. Anyone who sees it as opening up the bracha spigot from heaven, that's the essence of Judaism, that is so sad, that is so demeaning. Right? A contractual relationship with Hashem. I'll do my part, you'll do your part. Of course, that's not the theme. Of course, it's simply a question of living life in Olam Hazeh. Living life, soul and body, you need a healthy fusion. But we dare never lose focus. Life is about spirituality. Life is about meaning. Gashmiyistic life is ultimately hollow unto itself. I'm going to stress that last week's parasha from this perspective, Vaschanan. Vaschanan as a whole and Shema Yisrael, that narrative therein in particular, is all about the essence of Judaism. Vaschanan has the essential passages of Aseres Hadibros in it. Vaschanan is about the vision of Judaism. Right? Vaschanan first introduces the Mishnah Torah, the second relating of Torah. Vezos HaTorah Shosah Moshe, that narrative of Vaschanan, this is the Torah, this is the second narration of Torah, as Rashi explains in Parshas Vaschanan. It's introducing essential Torah, Aseres HaDibros, and in that vein, the essential Torah is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Mesiras Nefesh, give up all you have. Akev is then introducing, yes, the theme, the focus, yes, is spirituality. You're not going to be very successful in this spiritual enterprise unless you have a life of integrated Gashmius along with Ruchnius. So Akev is, I would argue, the direction, the actualizing of the focus of Vaschanan. You need the Hashkafas of Vaschanan, spiritual focus, along with the pragmatism of Akev. And this resonates within the two respective parshias, sub-parshias of each sedra, Shema Yisrael and V'chaim Shemoa to Vaschanan Akev respectively in many ways. For example, Shema Yisrael is the parasha of Kabbalas Olmachos Shemayim, Chazal says. Shema Yisrael is about your relationship to Hashem. V'chaim Shemoa, on the other hand, is the parasha of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, the acts. Certainly, the relationship to Hashem, Kabbalas Olmachos Shemayim, is ultimately what Judaism is about, the mitzvahs. Are not ends unto themselves. We don't worship mitzvahs, we worship Hashem. And we ought never deify a mitzvah or any Torah precept as what it's about. Rather, any mitzvah is a conduit to Hashem. Right, so don't you see how Shema Yisrael, the parasha of Kabbalas Olmachos Shemayim, and parashas Vaschanan as a whole is all about the relationship to Hashem, the ultimate focus. Parashas Akev and Vayim Shema is all about the actualization thereof. Mitzvahs to achieve relationship to Hashem, the notion that in this world you can't have a relationship with Hashem unless you're doing mitzvahs ma'isiyos, unless you have kabbalas ol mitzvahs. You simply have kabbalas ol machos shamayim, that would be a theoretical concept, meditating upon God in an ashram, but never actualizing it in real mitzvah deeds would be wholly lacking. So Parshas Akev and Parshas with its narrative of Hayim Shemo specifically is turning from theme, spiritual focus, Hashem, now to actualization. How do you do that? Mitzvahs, and hence the Gashmiyus stick of Fotzos. You need physical acts and the physical resources to enable such a life, which explains a few other things as well. Collating all the contrasts of Shema versus Vayim Shemoa, i.e. Vaschanan, Akev, the broader parashas together. For example, it's well known the observation that the parasha of Shema Yisrael is very much written b'lashon yachid, via hafta, you as the individual shall love Hashem and so forth, while V'chaim Shemo is written b'lashon rabim, right? The samtamas to v'rayel and so on and so forth. addressing the people as a whole. Why does Parsha Shema Yisrael speak to the individual and Vayim Shema the nation? What all has to do with this focus that Shema Yisrael, last week's parsha, narrative and parsha, is all about the theme, the essence of Judaism, the Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, the relationship to Hashem, while Akev, with its physicality of mitzvahs and its physicality of Gashmi Sticker Bracha, about the implementation? Well, understand in that direction, the essence of Judaism, the relationship to Hashem, is very individualistic. It's a Dover Shebelev, it's in the heart. My relationship to Hashem is really very personal, right? I have my relationship, you have your relationship. I pine and yearn for my needs towards Hashem. You pine and yearn for your needs from your place of vacuum of spiritual wanting and yearning to Hashem. Very, very personal. Kabbalah Samach Shemaim is very, very individualistic and private. And really the sacredness of the relationship to Hashem lies in that privateness, privacy, lies in that tznius, lies in that individuality. The implementation, however, the mitzvahs, are largely shared. I put on tefillin, you put on tefillin. Right? I bench, you bench. I keep Shabbos, you keep Shabbos. Our Parsha Akev, which is about physical implementation, it's largely the same. By the way, note parenthetically in this vein, appreciating this additional dimension of contrast between the two parshias, between vision and implementation, the notion of last week's parsha, which is the spiritual vision of Shema Yisrael, and this week's parsha, which is the physical implication of mitzvahs, and the fact that the spiritual relationship is individualistic, and the while the physical manifestation is largely shared, this is relevant to the entire knard which has been thrown against Torah Jews, when some say, you are a conformist society, right? You stunt individuality. You don't promote the unrestrained individuality of the Western world in the 21st century. You all seem to dress largely the same. You are doing the same thing. You seem to be restraining individual expression. Well, yes, that is true when one focuses on the Gashmias. Yes, our parsha, which is all about implementation, yeah, we are living largely similar lives. But that's when you have a superficial perspective. And Vaschanan is dealing with the truth of superficiality, of externality, which is part of who we are. But the essence, last week's parsha of Vaschanan, Shema Yisrael, well, therein is where we all have a very different relationship to Hashem. And the way we all find ourselves through mitzvahs, it's all very, very different, but that's on the personal level. Certainly the cynics, those who are throwing canards against us, are not going to pick up on that. What do you expect? They are superficial people. But it's important for ourselves to realize these two dimensions of a shared external observance, but a very, very different, rich, and personalized avodah b'lashon yachid of Shema Yisrael on the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim level. And the notion that when one understands the inner world of Torah Judaism, we are actually availing deep, deep dimensions of individuality and spiritual fulfillment and emotional fulfillment, but that's all on the pneumistic level, right? But I'm going to say with full confidence that one who's really living the rich Torah life is more of an individual, because their sense of self is not in terms of their funny hairdo or whatever the other external manifestation which the Western world is telling unrestrained self is about. No. It's an entire world of Ein Sof, the Ein Sof spirituality. Inner world therein I find myself, the quality of my relationships, my relationship to Hashem, my relationship to self, and so forth. Right, so this is yet another dimension of contrast between Shema and V'Hayim Shema, i.e. Parshas Vaschanan and Parshas Akev more broadly, which we're developing based on understanding how Parshas Akev is about Gashmias, mitzvahs, implementation, while Parshas Vaschanan and Shema is all about spiritual focus. And I'll relate one final dimension of contrast between Shema and V'Hayim Shema, which really fits in with the entire theme we're studying, and that is, we have a seemingly similar phraseology in the beginning of Shema and the beginning of V'Hayim Shema, respectively, but with a difference. Both speak about loving Hashem with all your heart and all your life. This week's parsha speaks about La'avas Hashem u'avda b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha, and Shema Yisrael speaks of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha. Lev and nefesh exist in both. However, ma'udecha, your money, serving Hashem with all your money, v'haftas Hashem al-kacha da-da-da b'chol ma'udecha, from where Chazal darshan from the mandate to give up all your money for Hashem. That's in last week's parsha. That's in Parsha Shema Yisrael. Not in this week's focus of Vayom Shamoa, but that actually makes all the sense in the world. That actually powerfully corroborates the entire theme of our study tonight. Because our Parsha is not about sacrifice and Gashmias. Our Parsha is about the notion of rich synthesis and symbiosis between Ruchnias and Gashmias. Seeing the need to live a life of deprivation as the exception to the rule. Nabuch, there have been Yidden who've had to live that way. Living a life in the Pale of Settlements, yeah, Yidden had to live with a lot of deprivation, and I don't know how they did it, frankly. Right? Living in the squalor, which Tsar Nikolai Yamach Shemo restricted them to. Right? But that is not the general vision. For sake of saying generally we find a symbiosis, so it doesn't mention loving Hashem with all your money as in sacrifice your money. That's last week's perspective. Last week's perspective, which is the essence of Judaism. The notion that we are about spirituality and meaning in life. And from the meaning in life perspective, there's a willingness to give up all you got for meaning. And we must be so committed. Shover, you see, I later found that the Medrash Tanchuma notes this difference. This difference that last week's Parsha Shema Yisrael speaks about giving up money, b'chol modecha, and this week's Parsha B'chayim Shemo does not. And it gives a more midrashic explanation, but one that is in line with the greater theme of our study. Medrash Tanchuma on Parsha Noach says that Parsha Shema Yisrael is the Parsha of Torah Shebal Peh, the Parsha of those who are immersed in Torah on a very deep level. And such people have to give up b'chol modecha, everything they have. Well, Parshas Vayom Shemo is talking about those whose relationship to Torah is a little more superficial, less deep. They're learning Torah Shebaksav instead of Torah Shebal Peh. They're Bali Maisa. They're people of deed rather than study. And therefore, they're not really giving up Gashmis to the same degree because they don't have to sit with the same degree of study, which requires sleep deprivation, says the Medrash, and Pas Melch Tochel, and all of that stuff. I would argue the Medrash's midrashic focus that the Parsha Shema Yisrael is about deep Torah study, and the Parsha of Chayim Shemo is about more superficial Torah study of the Bali Maisa, of those who act rather than primarily think and engage in Torah philosophy, is yet another dimension of this theme. In which Shema Yisrael, the notion of Torah Shebal Peh, as the Medrash Tanchuma is saying, right, that is kind of the vision, that is the brain of Judaism, that's the spirit of Judaism. While the notion of Bali Melacha, people have to live a life of deed, which doesn't always allow itself for the same in-depth study, yeah, that is actualizing the Torah and the Olam HaMaisa. We are all ultimately believing that the essence of Judaism is captured by what a Rabbi Akiva, what a Baruch Kotler, what an Avni Nazir, what a Tzaddik represented. We simply understand that living life in the physical world requires Melacha Maisa, and hence that not all of us are able to actually delve on that level, and hence you have the Vayim Shemoa, more Torah Shebeksav, Baal Melacha, in the words of the Medrash, way of functioning, which does not have B'chol Modecha, and it does not have the same physical sacrifice, but to the contrary, physical success. But I would see that as yet another dimension of the broader theme. I think we can now sit back and kind of savor yet another dimension which we've developed tonight, not only again our opening study of the parasha as a whole, its cohesive theme, which is a healthy relationship to Gashmias, but now the compare and the contrast to Parshas Vaschanan via the parasha of Shema Yisrael versus Vayom Shemoa study at the end of the two respective parashas, and the notion that in so many ways Parshas Vaschanan is the essence of Judaism, the notion of spiritual perspective and the quest for meaning rather than prosperity per se is the vision of Judaism, but at the same time, the very healthy notion that to actualize that in the real world, Parshas Akev, we ought not neglect the body, and ultimately there's a Judaism which brings healthy symbiosis of the two. There's one final dimension I wanted to develop tonight. To this study of Parshas Akev as the parish of healthy relationship with Gashmias, and that is really based upon a very exciting pattern. A pattern which first peaks through the opening expression in our parsha. V'haya Ekev Tishmon. It will be as a reward for you listening. Well, that expression, Ekev, appears twice in Avraham Avinu's life. both at the end of Parshas Vayera, the Akedah, when Hashem says to Avram, Eikav Asher Shamata Bakoli, and then in Toldos, when he tells Yitzchak, Eikav Asher Shama Avram Bakoli. Right? It cannot be a coincidence that the expression Eikav, and I later found this noted in Mefarshim, right? My discovery, which I later found noted, right? It cannot be a coincidence that the opening salvo, which gives the Parsha its very name, Eikav, right, is the story of Avram Avinu's life, not a coincidence. And the, like every Torah pattern, it becomes even more compelling and gathers steam when we trace further clues that Avram kind of is writ large all over this parsha. Let's continue beyond the opening phraseology of Ahaya Ekev Tishmon. Right, the opening pasa continues. V'shamar Hashem l'cha es habris v'asachaser ashnish b'lav osecha. Covenant, kindness, oath. Well, those are all big Avramic expressions. Right, v'shamar Hashem l'cha es habris. Bris is a big deal in Avram's life. Bris ben Absarim, Bris Mila. He strikes covenantal pacts with Hashem. And then the term chesed. He's, of course, the forefather of chesed. And then shvuah. Hashem makes great shvuahs to Hashem. Explicitly in Parshas Bereishis, promising him all sorts of things. And how exciting to realize that our great Bali Mesorah, Chazal, in the liturgy of Tefillah, are clearly noting this expression in our Parsha, Bris Chesed Anish B'Lav Osecha, and linking it to Avram. Because listen to this, right? Remember the Lashon of the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah at the end of the Zechronos, when it speaks all about Avram, and it says as follows. It says, Buzachar lon Hashem Elokeinu es habris v'asachesed v'asashvua asher nishbat al Avram. All of the expressions in our parasha, bris, chesed, shvua, it links to Avram. I have no doubt the authors, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the authors of that passage, had the first parasha, Pasukim, Parshas Ekev in mind, because they knew our entire pattern from the get-go of Ha'Ekev Tishman. That's an Avramic pasuk, and there are many, many other clues of this. You scroll from the first pasuk in our parasha to the second pasuk, v'avirecho v'irachach, I'm going to love you and bless you. Those are very Avramic words. I'm going to love you, right? The Navi says about Avram, Hashem says Avram, Ovi, Hashem, my beloved. And of course, the v'irachach, I'm going to bless you. Go back to Parshas Lech Lecha, where many times over Hashem says, I'm going to bless you. V'avirechacha, and then it says here in this week's parsha, v'hirbecha, I'm going to make you many. Of course, Avram was promised koyia zaracha, many, many children. Right, so you have clues of Avram all over this parsha, and in a similar vein, you have a mitzvah in our parsha like Birchas Hamazon, right? Now, of course, Chazal tells that Avram Avinu introduced the concept of Birchas Hamazon into the world, right? When the Gemara Sota develops how Avram would ask his guests who thanked him for food, did the food come from me? No, it came from Hashem, and he would have them bench. Right? Avram Avinu is the father of benching, right? Merely to pick up on another parsha motif, which is Avramic. There are more clues to Avram in our parsha. I think we could rest our case. I think we could rest our case in this week. Oh, the theme is a valid one. Right? So many clues of connections, the correlation to Avram is a valid one. So many clues of correlation back to Avram. Why? Why? It must be somehow Avram is shedding light on this whole theme of Parshas Ekev and where Gashmius fits into Judaism. Well, let's remember our study back in Parshas Lech Lecha. Remember that cheer when we studied the whole idea of Lech Lecha, go for yourself? Hashem says, don't do this for me. Don't feel like a martyr. Don't leave your family, your land, for me. Do it for yourself. Do it because I'm going to give you great blessing. And we explained, of course, Avram Avinu is not doing it shalol l'shma for blessings. He's Avram. Avram doesn't need an incentive, a carrot or a stick dangled, in front of him. It's almost a meaning in Avram, who already had agreed to be thrown into fiery furnace for Hashem. Of course, the idea was something else, as we explained. Avram's whose entire concept of Hashem is a God of Chesed. Avram's own midah of Chesed is because he perceives of a loving God, so different than the pagan gods who are cruel to their subjects. Right, as we studied at great length, and Avram's entire conception of Hashem was fundamentally loving. That's what made Avram the figure of Chesed, that his conception of Hashem was a loving God. So in turn, in his aspiration, B'Tzelem Olkim, to be like Hashem, he was loving himself. So therein lies the concept of Hashem's here to give us. Lech lecha. Understand that when Hashem's telling you to do something, it's for you. He's here for us. Understand that in the blessing which comes our way, including material blessing, well, that is the whisper of the divine. Or maybe you could even use more powerful metaphors. There's a wind of the divine blowing through the material blessing in your life. The notion that there's a loving Hashem. How you envision Hashem, not as an authoritarian authority figure, but as a loving authority figure. Well, that all comes to being. That is all formed through feeling blessing in your life. If we felt that life was really a very, very dark place, it's hard to feel a loving God that contradicts the experience you have, right? Oh, so important that our lives overall, we feel are permeated by goodness, because that is our portal to the divine. And more important than the actual prosperity of any bracha in our life itself is what it represents, that there's a loving Hashem here. And as we put it, the wind of the divine thrown through it, that we have an encounter with a loving God through it. Right? That is why Avraham Avinu is the patriarch of Parshas Ekev, the Parsha of Gashmis. Right? This Avram, beautiful Avram pattern in our Parsha, is yet another dimension of the greater theme. And our understanding, don't understand Parshas Ekev Gashmis to be what it's about. Right? It's not what it's about. But rather, it's giving form. It's giving perspective to what Judaism is about. Of course, Judaism is about spirituality, not about physicality. But the Gashmis is on so many levels necessary for a wholesome experience with Yiddishkeit, both in terms of recognition of our guf. We are, as we developed in the beginning of this year, we are a neshama and a guf, so it's only a Judaism which integrates the guf, which is viable. But now, as we're arguing even deeper based on Avram pattern, right? It's through prosperity, including prosperity of Gashmis, that we feel the wisp, we feel that wind of the divine breathing through, which points us up higher than the material blessing, back to the Gashmis itself. But it's never about the Gashmis itself. I'll add one more point. Not a coincidence that Medrash Chazal in the beginning of the Parsha, V'haya Ekev Teshma'an, Ekev Chazal Darshan Milashan Ekev Ahil. Chazal here talk about the mitzvahs, kaos, the light mitzvahs. This Medrash Chazal is not some loose homily thrown into the word Ekev, but has to do with the greater theme of the Parsha. That our Parsha is not dealing with the essence of Judaism the way Vashan was. Our Parsha is dealing with the implementation and the notion that living life in Olam Hazeh, which is a very mundane place, there needs to be spirituality which is calibrated to the mundane. And so if our heads are in the clouds, we're not going to deal with real life issues. It's when we are cognizant of mitzvahs kalos, the order you tie your shoes, for example, and other minutia, that we are affirming the greater Parshas Ekev focus, that the great aspirations of Parshas Vaschanan find fulfillment here in this mundane world, even through mitzvahs kalos. So I think we have developed quite rewardingly how the entire Parsha on so many levels is a very, very rich treatment of the whole idea of Gashmis and where Gashmis fits into the picture. And the beautiful notion that Yiddishkeit has never insisted on asceticism and even per se glorified asceticism, always encouraged a very happy, wholesome, well-balanced life while never losing its focus on what really matters. May we all be zeicha to have that wholesome balance of ruchnius and gashmius in our own lives. So critical. Amen. Kein yirat zayin.